At the beginning of a new year, we oftentimes look back over our lives, and we try to determine what happened to us in the last year, if anything good came out of it, or if we grew. And most people who are Christians will probably be able to look back on the last year of their lives and say in their own mind, I grew spiritually last year. I'm a better person because of all the things I went through last year. And of course, sometimes that is the truth and sometimes it is not. And there's a very specific test that we should all put to ourselves as to what spiritual growth is. Because what Ezra was talking about, gold being in the fire. You know when you have a fire burning and gold goes in the fire? There's a reason that gold goes in the fire. It's because there's something else in the gold. If the gold was pure, you wouldn't put the gold in the fire. When the gold goes in the fire and it's not pure, the impurities burn out. Okay? The fire is not there just to purify it. The gold. It's there to burn what isn't gold. And lots of times, because the analogy between gold and Christians is not exactly always the same, because we're human and we have a free will and we make choices, we hinder God's work. You know, the gold can't do anything to the refiner who is trying to purify it. It is inanimate. It doesn't resist. It just does whatever the refiner does to it. But we resist God. We have the capability of not letting God's work go forward in our lives. And he tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And the reason that God gives us an exhortation like this in the Scriptures is because it is possible for us to take the work that God is trying to do to us and let it ruin us instead of build us up. We can become discouraged under God's leadership. We can let our hands hang down. We can let our knees remain feeble. And we can become lame and be turned out of the way. That is a doctrine we don't hear in Christian circles today, almost at all. But it is the truth of the Scripture. It is possible for the very work that God is trying to do in your soul to turn you out of the way because you resist. And God doesn't want to keep us in a mediocre state where we're sort of serving Him and sort of serving ourselves. And God's idea of His church is purification all the time. And Jesus said it to one of the churches in Revelation, He said, I wish you were hot or cold. But because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. In other words, if there are people sitting in this audience right now that are for Jesus on the days they're for Jesus, and they're for fun on the days they're for fun, and they want to follow Jesus if His teaching is acceptable to their lifestyle, but they want to get out of His word if it causes them any trouble. God doesn't want you sitting here like that. And the pressure is going to go against you in such a manner, the work of God is going to come at you in such a manner as it is going to set you on fire for Christ or get you out of the church. He doesn't want you in an in-between state. He wants you for Him or against Him. And the Bible says to us that we should watch that we do not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. When you're driving a car down the road, and most of you guys drive, so you know what it feels like, you have only the amount of about a second or two to have your eyes off the road at a time. Is any longer than that, with your eyes off the road at the speeds that our cars go, you can leave the road. The car will go so fast to the right or to the left that if you're not constantly adjusting your steering to keep your path straight, you will hit somebody beside you or you'll hit the tree. You don't know which ditch you'll be in, but you won't be on the road if you don't constantly watch. And we live our Christian lives that way. If we're sincere, real Christians and we want to go forward, we live our Christian lives that way. We're constantly watching what's happening in our life. Now, let me tell you, I think what is the most important thing to make sure that when God is working in your life, that you allow the work to take the right effect instead of the wrong effect. What did Jesus say was the number one most important commandment in the Bible? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second, he said, is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now you notice the third is not to love yourself. Okay, you all do that anyway. Okay. Human beings, the number one reason that human beings go wrong is because the order goes myself first, and then God and my neighbor, who knows, we could mix that up in any order. Or my neighbor first, and then me and God somewhere, who knows, we could put that in any order. But if we always need to keep it God at the top and people below. And I have seen many, many, many people go through struggles in life. We call it... when somebody is being shaped into the image of Christ, we say they're mellowing. They get mellow with age. They learn how to be humble. They become more peaceful, more peaceable, more loving, we call it sometimes. But you know, in 9 out of 10 Christian lives, as that process takes place, as people age, they become less godly too. Why? Why as we become more loving, more peaceful, more accepting, why do we become less godly? Because all of that was toward man instead of toward God. And what do we do when we're in the midst of a world full of sinners and we are mellowing? We become softer on sin. You know, you see this in many, many, many Christians' lives when they raise 10 children or maybe even 4 children. The first half of their kids were taught standards and they were made to separate from the world and they weren't allowed to play this and weren't allowed to do that. But as the parents age, they became softer and the little kids got away with murder. They didn't get disciplined. They didn't get taught anything. And the family started slipping. And it used to be that when the old girls here were young, they were dressed modestly and the family looked like a Christian separated family. And now the little girls coming up in the family don't look any different than the singers from the popular singers of the day. What happened? Well, what happened was that God put pressure on the family. And he was trying to make them like Christ. But they respond incorrectly to the pressure. Instead of drawing closer towards God under that pressure, instead of loving God more, you relax. You just say, this is the way life has got to be. I'm going through a lot of pain. I suffer a lot. I'm just going to learn to be nice to people. I'm not going to yell at my kids anymore. Now, nobody should ever yell at their kids in a bad way. But we still have to hold standards for our kids. And there's many, many, many times where I have watched people. I have watched people making choices. I've watched people struggle. They say somebody caused them pain. Don't ever say that. Nobody caused you pain. Your own sin causes you pain. Okay, but if you do say it, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you right now. Some people say, somebody caused me pain. It might be a boyfriend, it might be a father, it might be a mother, it might be a sister. Somebody caused me pain, they say. And because of this pain, I have been hindered from reaching my potential in life. And we start withdrawing. We start withdrawing from what we should be. We quit trying to run the race as Paul told us we have to run. And you watch people make choices like this. And it would appear sometimes when you see a person or a family making a choice, they're a good Christian family right now, and they make a small choice that leaves them a good Christian family. And you say, there's no real issues there, nothing really changed. It's just like this. I've used this illustration before. One time I was driving with a girl who did not have her license. She just had her permit, and I was in the passenger seat, and she was in the driver's seat. Now, that's always a scary situation. But this girl, specifically, was kind of a wild girl. And all of a sudden, the car begins to go the wrong way. And I reached over, and I grabbed the wheel. It's the only time I've ridden with numbers of people who had their permits. I've taught at least one girl entirely how to drive. My wife. But I reached over and grabbed the wheel. It was the only time I grabbed the wheel. And you know why I grabbed the wheel? I was rather insane for grabbing the wheel because the car was right in our lane, just where it was supposed to be. But I only had 2 seconds until it wasn't. Because you know, you can have your car. You can fit a car in a highway lane sideways if you want to. At 70 miles an hour, how long does that take you to get off the road? Not very long. And I don't like to see Christians sitting on the straight and narrow way with their wheels turned. Because you know they're not going to be on the straight and narrow way very long. Keep your wheels straight. You might say, well, I'm in healing mode right now. My engine is off. I'm just parked on the highway. Straighten your wheels. Start your engine and straighten your wheels. That's how you heal. Because I know for a fact that with all the young people that are sitting in this room tonight, not everybody here is going to live out a full, solid, committed life to God the way that I would want to see them do it. I know that. I'm not going to say that there's anybody here who's not going to be a Christian. I'm not going to say that. But you know, there are many, many, many Christians who in the face of trouble let their lives be turned away from God. And they... What are the consequences to that? Well, you know, let's just take an example. First of all, you're 15 years old. You're living at home. You don't really appreciate your parents. Now, hopefully I'm not talking to anybody who's sitting in this room. But this happens all the time. Now, the fact that we don't really appreciate our parents may have numerous reasons behind it. Perhaps they get grumpy. I don't know if I've ever met a parent that didn't. Perhaps they told you one time that God wanted you to do something. They tried to teach you something out of the Bible that wasn't true. Now, the fact of the matter is, I don't know if there's any parent on the face of the earth who believes everything in their head 100% correctly. So that's also possible. But what does God tell you to do to your parents? Obey them? Okay. So we have the fact that parents aren't perfect, and yet God commands obedience. So now I'm the kid. I'm going to do obedience for the most part, but I'm also going to scowl at them, look down on them a little bit, despise them a little bit. Now, where that's like sitting on the straight and narrow way with your wheels turned. Where's it going to lead? And the answer to where that is going to lead is anybody's guess, because we don't know what is going to come into that child's life. But most likely, the most common thing that it's going to be is going to be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Somebody who is quite substantially different from anything that they believed. You fall in love. We lose our mental capacity when we're in love. Now we are in this situation where we already have an axe to grind with our parents, and we're in love with somebody else who we shouldn't even associate with. Now, can we think clearly? No. So, because we can't think clearly now, we marry this person against our parents' advice. Now, this person brings all sorts of things into our lives that we never even knew existed because we were raised in a sheltered Christian home. I hope I'm not talking to anybody here, okay? But if I am, you better listen. Then we get dragged into a different church, a church that our parents wouldn't have approved or appreciated, and the reason is because they're very, very lukewarm and don't care much about what the Bible says. And so we get dragged into a church like that. And we make friends with all those kinds of people. And they teach us new things. But we are not in a position to judge properly. Because, why? Well, because back at home when we were 15 years old, God said to us, lift up the hands that hang down. Do you know what that means? You can't have a problem with your parents. That's what that means. You have a problem with your parents, you've got hanging hands. You lift those hands up and you quit having a problem. Because if you've got a problem, it's your fault. Okay, God's working on purifying you. But when God works on purifying, He is trying to push you towards Himself, not away from Himself. And it's your choice which way you go. You might go up in purification, or you might go down. And there are people, for example, I believe this story is, I've heard this story about Jack Van Impe, a prominent man in evangelical circles. I don't know if he's still living today, but he had the entire Bible memorized. Going back 40, 50 years ago, he had the entire Bible memorized. And he was in the fundamentalist camp of Christians. But he left it. He went new evangelical. He began to believe that, you know, the mindset that everybody's okay. No fire left. How can you have the entire Bible memorized and believe everybody's right? What happened in his life? I guarantee you, I promise you, if he was here today and I could call him up to this pulpit and ask him to tell us his story about the change that he took in his place, he would talk to you about the way God led him and what he learned and the spiritual growth in his life when he went new evangelical. That's what he would tell you. But his mind was messed up. He had the Bible in his head, but he didn't have it in his heart. Spiritual growth is not change. Spiritual growth is loving God more and yourself less. Spiritual growth is loving God more and people in subjection to loving God. That's what real spiritual growth is.